This is Wabate Cree Radio, Timmins, Ontario.
Hi, this is Christine Evans for Kids Help Phone. If you need someone to talk to, please call Kids Help Phone at 1-800-668-6868 or go online at www.kidshelpphone.ca. It's open 24 hours a day. It's free, anonymous, and confidential.
Hi, I'm Trish Crawford. Welcome to Fire Within Us, a program specifically geared towards tweens and teens. Listen to professionals, role models, elders, and of course, you teens as we discuss issues that matter to you. Join in on some fun as we test your knowledge with our cranial challenges and did you know facts. Learn your language from our retired Cree teacher, Daisy Turner. All of this and more coming your way. So be sure to stay tuned and I will be right back with Fire Within Us. Hi everyone, welcome to Fire Within Us. Now if you joined us last week, you would have heard the show on the Kids Help Phone and what exactly the Kids Help Phone does. We were speaking to a counselor, Delise Hayner, that we'll continue speaking to for today's show on the topic of teen suicide. Now, the chances are that you teens will know at least two people who will commit suicide during your teen years. These may or not be people who are in your circle of friends, but what if they were? Would you know the signs and how to help them? So on today's show, Delise is going to be taking us into the minds of the teens that contact her on the Kids Help Phone along with other counselors. So don't go away. This will be a very informative show for everyone to have a better understanding as to why our teens seem to be contemplating suicide. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Fire Within Us. Joining me on the phone today is Delise Hayner, a counselor for Kids Help Phone in Toronto, Ontario. Hello, Delise.
Hi, Trish.
As said last week, we're going to continue on with this interview with Delise, covering more of the issues that our teens use the Kids Help Phone for. One in particular I'd like to really cover is teen suicide. So Delise is going to give us some insight as to what the Kids Help Phone is used for and who is able to use it, as well as bringing us into the minds of the teens as to why our teens are contemplating suicide. So go ahead, Delise, and tell us what the Kids Help Phone is used for.
Kids Help Phone is an absolutely amazing telephone and internet counseling service. And what it is basically there for kids and teenagers and emerging adults. So we service the whole age range from about as old as you are that you can pick up a phone, right up until about even 20 or 25 years of age. And the idea is that we're available 24 hours a day in English and French. And available for young people across the entire nation to be able to speak with a counselor whenever they feel like they need to. So they can get in touch with us on telephone. And again, it's open 24 hours a day. It's free. It's confidential. We don't trace calls. We don't have call display. We don't trace IP addresses. So all a kid needs to do is pick up a phone pretty much anywhere in Canada and dial 1-800-668-6868, and they can reach and speak to a counselor completely free of charge and about really anything that could possibly be on their mind.
So this is an open line for any child that feels that they want to discuss anything that they want to talk about that they can't bring themselves to talk about with either their parents or their friends?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's a really important thing because, you know, when we say, you know, counseling, you know, people think, oh, it's got to be something really awful. It's got to be something really serious. And that's not always the case. You know, we have to remember that what might be serious or a big deal to us as adults or not a big deal to us as adults can be a really huge deal to a child or to a teenager. So, you know, we have a saying around here. We say that no problem is too big and no problem is too small. If it's important to a child or to a teenager and they need to talk about it, we need to be there for them. So we're available all the time.
So you guys are available. Your lines are open for 24 hours a day, every day.
We never close. It's 365 days a year. There's always somebody here answering the phone. Doesn't matter if it's a holiday. Doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the night. There's always someone here. There's always also someone here answering posts to us on the internet. So if a young person doesn't feel you know, entirely comfortable speaking on the phone, or maybe they feel like they lack the privacy to do that, they can also write to us at www.kidshelpphone.ca in our Ask a Counselor section. So they can, you know, create an account there, make up a username, and, you know, write to us about what their problem is. And a counselor will usually get back to them within 72 hours.
So what kind of issues do you guys cover? Like, what sort of things do kids contact you for?
You know, Trish, it can be absolutely anything. You know, sometimes a young person, you know, had a hard day at school. You know, maybe they're dealing with things like bullying. Or maybe, you know, they had a fight with a friend. Maybe there's some drama going on in their circle of friends that they need some support about. They're not sure what to do. You know, so a lot of times we hear about interpersonal problems. So, you know, stuff to do with relationships, parents, friends, boyfriends, and girlfriends. But, you know, we hear about other stuff as well. You know, and I did mention that we do talk to kids as young as, I think the youngest caller I've ever spoken to is 4 years old.
Wow.
You know, and the problems that are really serious to a 4, 5, or 6-year-old are going to be, you know, quite different to the problems that are serious to somebody who's 18. So, you know, it wouldn't matter if, you know, if a young person was in school and somebody was pulling their pigtails or taking their lunch and, you know, they didn't know what to do about it, we're going to take them seriously. No matter what, and we're going to be there for them and just try to, you know, sit with them, talk about the problem, and help them, you know, figure out what they can do to try to make the problem a little bit easier for them.
All right. As stated last week, we're going to continue on with our coverage on some of the issues that teens are using the Kids Help Phone for. We've already discussed some of the issues such as boys' health, girls' health, bullying, teen pregnancies. But when we come back, we're going to start to discuss some of the more serious issues such as teen suicide. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Fire Within Us. What is so stressful about being a youth? Some of the things that might be stressful to youth are trouble at home, change in the family dynamics, if there's a new baby in the family, an older sister moves out, mom or dad lost their job, changes of schools, difficulties at schools, even bullying at school, relationship breakups, social struggles, balancing school, work, social life, and family relationships. Facing an environment that encourages drugs, alcohol, and sex. The natural separation from parents. Dating, learning to accept themselves with or without talents and abilities. Getting good grades for college or university, or getting a part-time job. Choosing a college and university, or just choosing a career. And we're back with Fire Within Us. One of the major issues that you must deal with a lot at your Kids Help Phone is teen suicide. Mm-hmm. I know this is a very serious issue, and the reason why I want to cover it is because I don't want to continue to close our eyes to this. It is hitting our young at a really high alarming rate, so I would like for you to give us some insight as to why this is happening. Like, when you have your teens or when you have teens contact you and they're trying to get some understanding as to why they're feeling suicidal thoughts. Can you explain to us what suicide is, first of all?
Yeah. So, I mean, suicidal thoughts are different from what I would call normal teenage thoughts. It is normal at some point during the lifespan to have thoughts or a preoccupation with death and dying. But what's not normal and what's not typical is to really become, thinking about killing oneself. And what we've found is that most people who are contemplating suicide, it's not so much that they want to die, that they want their lives to be over. What I hear from young people is more that they want whatever pain they're going through to end. Okay, so there's typically a depression component that accompanies this. Now, I mean, depression can be a biochemical thing. It could be, have more to do with brain chemistry, or it can have to do with the situation, and brain chemistry can affect a situation can affect brain chemistry, and depression can result from either of those two things, or a combination. So what we really want to do is try to address the young person's feelings of depression and feelings of pain, whatever it is that they're going through that they want to end. We want to get to that. When young people make the very courageous decision to pick up the phone and call a counselor for help, I like to point out to them that they're calling for a reason. If they had 100% made the decision and finalized it in their mind to commit suicide, they wouldn't be on the phone with me.
Right.
So there is a very real, very important part of them that might feel really small at that time, but it's also very real that believes in and wants a hope for something better in their lives. And so my job is to try to find out what that's about and to make a really big deal of it, so that we can build on it together and help that hopeful part of them grow. I don't find that a lot of kids, a lot of young people call and don't know why they're feeling suicidal. I mean, that does happen,
mm-hmm.
And certainly we would support a kid through that. But most teenagers know what's going on. They know what's upsetting them. And they want whatever that upsetting thing is or whatever the horrible, negative, intolerable feeling that they're experiencing, they want that to end. And, what I can do is I can offer a lot of hope and help and support, because I've seen other young people go through this process and come out on the other side and come out happy, come out feeling normal, come out feeling like they can go on and have good relationships, get a job, lead a fulfilling, happy life that they're proud of.
When a teen is feeling these suicidal thoughts, feeling like they're going to commit suicide, mm-hmm. is this feeling forever? Is there a way to make this stop?
There absolutely is. But I mean, I think the difficult thing is to realize that this is a process. Quite likely, a young person didn't start feeling suicidal overnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
It took some time. It started out as feeling bad. It maybe progressed into a depression. A situation around them got worse. They started feeling hopeless. It's going to take some time to get back up out of that feeling. But it's not forever. And, often when I hear from young people who are suicidal, the theme that keeps coming up is, I feel trapped. I feel like I don't have any choices. And that is actually a trick that depression can play on us. If we're starting to feel depressed, we're starting to feel down, our brain goes into a really weird place, and it starts to block out or disregard or devalue anything that's hopeful and good in our life. And we find ourselves saying things like, oh, that doesn't matter. Somebody asked me how I was, but they don't really care. They didn't really mean it. Our brain starts to play into this depression. And so what a counselor can do is to help challenge those negative thoughts. I call it shining a light. We try to shine a light on things that are good,
mm-hmm.
and to try to shine that light in some shadowy areas of that young person's life to help them realize that there are some choices that they haven't thought about yet. And while none of those choices are going to be perfect, some of them are going to be better than the situation they're facing right now. And we can also tell them about experiences that we've had, experiences that other young people have had, you know, and their success stories. You know, the fact that we have seen teenagers, you know, get therapy, get counseling, leave a bad situation, leave an abusive situation, get people who are toxic out of their lives. And, you know, that can feel so scary and so painful to a young person, you know, to think, like, in order to get myself to a place where I can be safe, I might have to leave behind somebody that I care about.
Right.
Who may not, who just, you know, who I can't force to get better, you know. I know of one young person that I spoke to a while ago who, you know, was living with parents who were involved in drug dealing. There was a lot of violence going on at home. And you know, who really felt trapped because they didn't want to get their parents in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, you know, they weren't being fed. There were, you know, laundry wasn't being done. You know, this poor young person, you know, wasn't eating. There was no food in the house. There was a lot of violence. They were in so much emotional pain. They had been cut off from their friends. They weren't allowed to see people. They had to, you know, basically go to school and come right home. They just felt so trapped. And it had occurred to them to tell someone, but they were so terrified because they felt so much love for their mom and dad still that they didn't want to get their parents in trouble. But after several long talks with this young person, you know, we sort of got to a place where they decided that, you know what, I do love my mom and my dad, and no kid should ever have to make this decision, but maybe, you know what, letting them get away with continuing to do this, maybe that's not the best way for me to show them that I love them. You know, maybe the best way for me to show them that I love them is to make a report and to make them face the consequences of their decision, because not only does that happen, but, you know, we talked about it, and once she was able to speak to a police officer, again, through a three-way call, and once she was able to speak to somebody at Child Protection Services, she got the message, and she was told that, you know, people aren't just going to show up at your house and arrest your mom and dad and put them in jail and lock them up forever. They're going to have an opportunity to do counseling. They're going to have an opportunity to do a drug rehabilitation program and get off of drugs. You know, there's going to be a chance for them to put their lives back together. And, you know, after a couple of long talks, she weighed those options and she made the decision that, you know what, she didn't want to die and leave behind, you know, addicted parents who were selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to make the decision to give another way a try. And this might sound a little more direct or a little more cut and dried than some people like to think about, but I have said this to teenagers, and I'll continue to say it. You know, it doesn't make sense, if we can slow ourselves down and think about it, it doesn't make sense to go ahead and end your life unless you've really tried all of the other options. Because ending your life, there's no option after that.
This is what I want to get at. Do they understand what suicide is? Do they understand that it is final?
A lot of teenagers do understand that it's final. Although sometimes, you know, what we see is the aftermath of something that we call a suicidal gesture,
mm-hmm.
which is not exactly the same as somebody who really intends to commit suicide. Sometimes a young person is in such an awful place and nobody's listening, you know. They have made cries for help. You know, maybe they have, maybe it's so obvious to them that they're in so much pain, they can't understand why nobody else sees it. You know, so we might have a discussion around how, you know, sometimes adults are scared and they don't want to see it. They're not perfect. They might be in denial about it. They may not know what to do. They might, you know what, and I talk to parents sometimes who are worried about their kids, and they're so concerned about bothering their kid or about prying into their private lives that they don't ask. And they're doing it out of respect, right?
Right.
And so we can have a conversation about, you know, if you're concerned that somebody is doing this, is thinking about this, ask them. Talking about suicide will never, ever, ever make it worse. The worst case scenario is that it leaves things neutral. The best case scenario is that it helps. You know, but what I would talk to a teenager about, you know, also, you know, people aren't mind readers. And because you're in the middle of this, it seems totally obvious to you. But it might not. It might generally not be obvious to other people. So if you're feeling this way, you've got to talk to somebody. And you got to keep talking to somebody until you reach somebody who says, okay, I respect you. I care about you. I want you to be all right. What do you need? What do you need to start feeling better?
All right, with that being said, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to be discussing when a friend discloses his or her wishes to commit suicide to another friend. What do you do? Where do you go and who do you turn to? So Delise will be discussing this when we come back with Fire Within Us. And we're back with Fire Within Us.
Now this final arrangements, you know, where they start giving away things that belong to them that you know that are very personal to them.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be on full alert when this happens?
We should certainly have a follow-up conversation about that. And I would say, you know, parents and other caring adults, try to put your fears aside. I want to emphasize again, there has never been an instance of talking about suicide that made it worse.
Okay? Right.
There just isn't one on record. The worst it can do is leave things neutral. The best it can do is help. And what you're doing is you're giving that young person a message that you care, even if they get grumpy with you, even if, I don't want to talk about it. Okay, well, I just want to let you know that I'm not trying to pry into your personal business, but I just want to let you know I'm here to talk, and I care, and I want you to be okay. And you just seemed a little down to me. And, you know, your feelings are important to me. So if you want to talk about this, I want to talk about it too, and I'm here for you, and I'm not too busy.
Yes, because you know what? A lot of the, I mean, it is. It's a scary thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not a lot of teens want to go into it because, I mean, it is. It's scary to go into that and to have all those feelings brought up. Mm-hmm. But it is, like I said, like I'm very glad you're stressing the point that it is very important to express your feelings on this.
So, I mean, one thing I do hear about sometimes is that a person might be feeling quite depressed, feeling really awful, and then suddenly there might be a calm. I would describe it as a calm that comes over them. You know, where suddenly everything's fine. Everything's all right. You know, that sometimes, you know, might be considered a bit of a warning sign as well. And I don't say that to scare anyone. I don't say that to, you know, make anybody freaked out or anything. I only say that to really, again, encourage people to keep the communication lines open. And if you're a parent of a teenager and you feel like something might be going on and your teen won't talk to you for some reason, you know what? Give them our number. Write it down. But you would be surprised at the number of teenagers I've spoken to at 4 o'clock in the morning who said, yeah, my mom or dad gave me this. And I said I'd never call, but you know what? I'm feeling really awful, and I thought I'd give it a try.
Children who have lost a loved one mm-hmm. through suicide, how do we explain this to our children? That how do we explain to them that, you know, their sibling or a loved one is gone?
It has to be done according to where they're at. You know, we need to be developmentally appropriate. Obviously, we're not going to explain, you know, depression and the details of a suicide to a five-year-old child. We're going to keep it developmentally appropriate. And I think parents and family members, you know, are more the experts on where their child is at developmentally than I am. Like, I could give you age milestones, but really, we know where a child is at, and we want to let the questions come from them, you know. So we might say to a kid or a child, you know, do you have any questions? You know, you've noticed that this person isn't around anymore. how do you feel about that? You know, and to give good messages about it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to miss them. You know, we're going to try to keep their memory alive in different ways. You know, we can still talk to them or write a letter to them about how we're feeling. But yeah, we're not going to be seeing them anymore. And to really let the child's questions guide how much information you give them, okay? So, I mean, if the child is saying, you know, I don't understand, where did they go? You need to make a call about whether or not we explain a little bit about death. And I would encourage parents to use the correct terminology, you know, to use words like died, you know, and okay. And if the child wants to know what does died means, you know, it means that they're not here anymore, you know, that they're gone and we're not going to be able to see them again. And that, you know, that's sad. And it's okay for us to be sad about that. I miss them. And I know you miss them too. But, you know, I mean, I don't think that, you know, with a very young child, maybe we necessarily need to go into all the details of what happened, because that might be more information than the child is looking for at the time, and it may just not be developmentally appropriate. It might be more scary. But it's okay to let a young child know, like, we're all very sad about this. You know, we all miss this person. We all wish that they were still here. You know, and I think parents, you know, can certainly also, you know, reach out to other people in their community, you know, to counseling for themselves, and can be discussing those issues around, you know, how to deal with this with a younger child, with a professional counselor, a therapist, or with a doctor, or, you know, they could, you know, definitely look for more information about that on our website. And we do have a website. We don't have a phone line, but we do have a website for parents called parenthelpline.ca.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I think there should be some information about that at parenthelpline.ca.
Deleuze, do you have any final thoughts?
Just, I really can't emphasize enough how when we are dealing with a young person who's feeling suicidal, that most of the time, this is not actually somebody who wants to die. That this is somebody who wants to live very much, but who wants to live without the pain and the emotional distress that they're going through. What is really important is to be able to hold a young person through that space and support them through what they're feeling. To a young person, those feelings can feel so insurmountable, so completely intolerable, that the need and desire to escape just becomes the only thing in their life. So what we need to do as adults is to really support them through those feelings, to validate their feelings, to help them with whatever the situation is, and to keep letting them know that even though this is what you're going through right now, that this is not going to be the state of affairs forever, that this is going to pass, that there is hope, that things can and do get better, and that that's what our job is to see them through and to help find anything that is going right, any strengths that that young person has. And they do have them, because if they're strong enough to let someone know that they're feeling suicidal, oh my gosh, that is such a strength to overcome any feelings of insecurity or fear. And to actually reach out to someone in feeling vulnerable and let them know that's going on, there are strengths. And we need to be letting young people know that a time is coming, you know, when you're going to be an adult and when you're going to have a lot more control over your life, over where you live and who you live with and who you allow into your life and how you let people treat you. That's coming. And it might be coming sooner than you think if you reach out for help. So what we really want to do is just empower young people with that thought that feelings do pass if we sit with them and experience them and work through them with a caring, respectful, non-judgmental person, that it will pass and there will come a time when the horrible feelings aren't so horrible anymore.
All right, Delise, this was such an informative interview, and I do seriously give you a lot of thanks.
My pleasure.
This is something that I really, really want to get through, the message to our young teens that life is worth living.
That's great. And
thank you for taking the time to explain to us, to help us get a better understanding as to what some of the teens are going through, and having a better insight of our youth.
It's my absolute honor to do so, and I look forward to hearing from more teens in your community.
Can you give us your website and your phone number once again, please, for the Kids Help phone?
Absolutely. The phone line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, English and French. It's completely free, confidential, and anonymous, and it's 1-800-668-6868. Our website, likewise, always open. It sometimes does take up to 72 hours to get a response from a counselor, so we usually say if you need help right away, please phone. But if not, feel free to get in touch with us online at www.kidshelpphone.ca.
Phone number again is?
1-800-668-6868.
All right, Delise, I look forward to talking to you again soon. And you were just listening to Delise Hayner, a counselor at the Kids Help Phone in Toronto, Ontario.
It's time now for Cranial Challenge. Put your thinking caps on.
Are you ready to test your knowledge? Try grabbing some of your friends and family members to compete against them to see who comes up with the correct answer first. Now, some of these questions are coming to you from a grade 3 and grade 4 level. So good luck! And now coming from our science category. Which part of an animal is more likely to become a fossil? Is it
its skin or its bones?
Again, which part of an animal is more likely to become a fossil? Is it
its skin or its bones?
If you guessed,
it's bones.
You're correct! And now coming from our English department. What's the word for a scientist who studies plants? Again, we are looking for what's the word for a scientist who studies plants? If you guessed,
botanist.
You're correct! And now coming from our math category. How much is 4/5 of 200? Again, we are looking for how much is 4/5 of 200? If you guessed,
160.
You're correct! And now coming from our Aboriginal language category. Which is the correct Cree word for the word chair?
Tehtabon, Nepeon, Eshkutehan.
Again, we are looking for the correct Cree word for chair.
Tehtabon, Nepeon, Eshkutehan.
If you guess,
Tehtabon.
You're correct! And now coming from our grab bag. When you boot a computer, are you starting it up or shutting it down? Again, when you boot a computer, are you starting it up or shutting it down? If you guessed,
starting it up.
You're correct! And now coming from the history category, name the building in Washington, D.C., where Congress meets. Again, we are looking for you to name the building in Washington, D.C., where Congress meets. If you guessed...
the Capitol.
You're correct! And now coming from our geography category, in which South America country is most of the Amazon rainforest located? Again, in which South American country is most of the Amazon rainforest located? If you guessed...
Brazil.
You're correct! And now coming from our Aboriginal language category, which is the correct Cree word for house?
Bespapun, Waskahegan, Waskahegan-ish.
Again, we are looking for the correct Cree word for house.
Bespapun, Waskahegan, Waskahegan-ish.
If you guessed...
Waskahegan.
You're correct! And now coming from our science category. The Earth's plates are moving slowly all the time. Is this true or false? The Earth's plates are moving slowly all the time. Is this true or false? If you guessed...
true. Most plates move only a few centimeters a year.
You're correct! And now coming from our English category. Correct this sentence. Please sit the glasses on the table. Again, we are looking for you to correct this sentence. Please sit the glasses on the table. If you guessed...
please set the glasses on the table.
You're correct! And now from our Aboriginal language category, which is the correct Cree word for snowing?
Mespun, Gemon, Dachayau.
Again, we are looking for the correct Cree word for snowing.
Mespun, Gemon, Dachayau.
If you guessed...
Mespun.
You're correct!
That was a happy cow sound, yeah.
And now coming from our math category. If it's 2 minutes after midnight, is it 12.02 p.m. or 12.02 a.m.? So, if it's 2 minutes after midnight, is it 12.02 p.m. or 12.02 a.m.? If you guessed...
12.02 a.m.
You're correct! Well, I hope you had fun with today's Cranial Challenge. I look forward to our next challenge.
This is Health Science.
Here are some secrets to a healthier lifestyle brought to you by the Youth Suicide Prevention website. It is important to have someone or a number of people you trust that you feel comfortable to talk to. These are most likely the people who will listen without judgment, pay attention to your feelings, and don't try to solve your problems. Let you say whatever you need to say and genuinely care about you. Make sure you have an active life. Pursue your hobbies. Take up sports. Follow your artistic calling or try something new. Life is full of opportunities waiting to be grabbed. Part of having that healthy lifestyle is becoming an assertive teen. To become an assertive teen, you need to express personal likes and dislikes, feel comfortable making personal decisions, and agrees to disagree or compromise. A person that can say no, stand up to others, doesn't let people take advantage of their kindness, skills, or personal belongings. More importantly, respects others and in return, gets respect. So to develop a healthy personal boundary, you want to choose who you want to share your personal stuff with. Stand by your personal values and rights. Notice when someone is disrespectful of you or taking advantage of you. And listen to the advice of others and then decide if you will follow it or carry on with your own decisions. Maintain a healthy sense of privacy. Decide who can touch you and where they can touch you. Be aware of personal space and how close you will allow others to be. And pay attention to your need to have some quiet time alone or with someone that you feel comfortable being around. So what happens when someone doesn't respect those boundaries? No, it's not selfish to say no, just say no. Or don't touch me. I don't want to talk about this with you. I can't be your friend anymore because I don't feel that you respect me. If you don't stop this behavior, I'm leaving. Or simply leave the room. Refuse to read a note or screen your phone calls. Don't return phone calls. Those are some appropriate responses that you could use if someone is not respecting your boundaries. Another secret to a healthy lifestyle is positive self-talk. When you're feeling scared or anxious, it helps to think positive thoughts about yourself. This might be hard because you've probably been thinking bad thoughts for a long time. You might find it easier if you write down some positive thoughts so that you can remember them when you need them. An example would be, I can handle this. Or, it might be scary, but I can get through it. I'm okay the way I am. I'll do my best, not worry about what others think. It's okay to make mistakes. Or, I'll be okay, this is just a feeling, it will go away. And finally, one of the best secrets to a healthier lifestyle is self-esteem. Don't worry so much about what people think of you, and don't question your basic worth as a human being. And try not to blame yourself when things go wrong in your life. Don't accept inappropriate blame that others try to put on you, and don't compare yourself to others. The things that you can do are give yourself the permission to fail. Always keep being yourself and do expect to make mistakes. Always treat yourself like you're a worthwhile person and give yourself credit to your personal achievements. And last, acknowledge your natural talents. These are just some of the secrets for you teens to a healthier lifestyle.
Hi. This is Christine Evans for Kids Help Phone. If you need someone to talk to, please call Kids Help Phone at 1-800-668-6868 or go online at www.kidshelpphone.ca. It's open 24 hours a day. It's free, anonymous, and confidential.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show on Fire Within Us. If you have any comments or suggestions about this program that you heard today, then please email us at cjwt@wawate.on.ca. I'm Trish Crawford, and you're listening to Fire Within Us on Wawate Radio.